Today's scripture reading is Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
We're going to be continuing our thoughts for this month. It's our final Sunday of the month, and the theme, of course, is being merciful or mercy. When Mike asked me if I'd do this, he already had his idea of what he wanted to do if he had been here, so he wrote his article based upon that. And I wanted to go a little bit different direction, so I just simply told him, well, Mikey, look, if they want to know what you'd have preached on, they can read the article, and then they'll listen this morning, you'll get two lessons for one. So take that one as you will. But it is good to be here, good to see everybody here. We do want to continue this whole thing, the whole idea of mercy. You know, as I was thinking about this, words like patience and long-suffering and endurance, compassion, as we've talked about over the course of this month. Similar words like this, when you stop and think about it, almost intertwine with, I'm not saying they're synonyms with mercy, but they almost intertwine. If I'm not a person that shows patience and long-suffering nature toward people, if I don't do things of that nature, then chances are I'm not going to be a person who possesses mercy. I'm not going to be a merciful person. And as we know from passages like Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, that we are to be imitators of God. And 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says there, he says, even as I imitate Christ, imitate me. So what is the point here? Is that we serve such a tremendous, loving, merciful God, and we are supposed to be imitators of God, and we're supposed to be like God. How can we be anything but merciful ourselves? We serve a tremendously merciful God. And I hope in the course of this study this morning that we will be able to show that. Multiple passages, we couldn't even begin to touch all of them, that talks about the patience and long-suffering nature of God, His forbearance, His merciful nature. We just simply wouldn't have the time for that. As we're going to look from this morning's study, among other attributes of God, things like love and justice, omniscience, omnipotence, all these different things that we can think about, supreme mercy is definitely one of God's absolute attributes. And I thought about this for just a little bit. In the world that we live in today, and I want to be careful how I use terminology like this, but the truth of the matter is, in many ways, from a moral, ethical condition of this country and the world itself, I think we can honestly say that there is a lot of depravity. There's a lot of deplorable nature there that exhibits itself day to day. You see it on TV. You see it out in public. You hear it coming from people's mouths. And all of these things, it makes me wonder, in the days of Noah, just how bad it must have been then for God to get to a point where He would just simply say, I've had enough. And it makes me wonder, looking at the world that we live in, that is He at a point where He may be very close to saying, I've had enough of this too. But in the fact that He has not done that, is evidence, is proof that He is a merciful God, one who is slow to anger. He is a patient God. And I think we can look at this and we can be thankful for that very idea. God's enduring mercy is clearly seen in many, many stories of the Bible. Again, we can't touch on all of them by any stretch of the imagination. But think about Genesis chapter 4 and verse 12. God, in my estimation, exercised tremendous mercy toward Cain by simply banishing him from his homeland after he had killed his brother Abel. When you look at that particular account, that was cold-blooded murder. God had every right to strike him down right there, put an end to Cain's life. But he didn't do it. He showed mercy toward Cain. God showed tremendous mercy with the brothers of Joseph. Remember the story there that they took Joseph and were going to leave him in a pit to die. But then they decided with the encouragement of the brother to no, we're not going to do that, but we will sell him into captivity, which, by the way, a slave at that day and age was nothing more than an implement, a tool to his master. And if that slave died, just go get another one. And they left him in a very real sense to die. And they didn't stop there, but they deceived their father into thinking that Joseph was dead. God showed mercy toward those brothers. God exercised great mercy with his people as they murmured and they complained as they were leaving the land of Egypt. God rescues them from that. He hears their groanings. He hears their cries. And he rescues them from Egyptian captivity only for them to complain. Well, we'd have been better off back in Egypt. At least we had this. At least we had that. But he allows the people to continue on. God proved his mercy with Israel when they became impatient while they waited on Moses, while Moses was on Mount Sinai. And they encouraged and coaxed. In fact, got Aaron to actually build a golden calf that they worshiped. What mercy God must have shown at that time. I sent my servant. I brought him up here to the mountain to give him the law. Laws that you need to live by. Laws that are for your good. And all you can do is complain and ask for an idol to be made. What mercy he showed there. Look at his mercy with the people during the years of the judges. And especially when they demanded in 1 Samuel chapter 8, to have a king over them like the nations around about them. They showed a history of the judges that was explained to me one time and really a good way to think about it. God would give them a judge and they're like they were at the top of the roller coaster. But just sure as the world, they headed back down and away from God. God would give them another judge and bring them back up. And each time they were on this roller coaster, they just couldn't be content. They couldn't be satisfied with the judges that God gave them. Couldn't be satisfied with following God's will. And yet he endured with them. He was patient with them. He showed great mercy toward those people. How can we not recognize God's great mercy and patience with the Hebrew people during their idolatrous years under the prophets? Prophet after prophet after prophet was sent to correct them, but to no avail. They just wouldn't accept it. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 31, says, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets." In the very same context, just about 5, 6, 7 verses later, Matthew 23, 37 through 38, We remember the words of Jesus there as he was telling those people, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered you together, even as a hen gathers her little chicks under her wings to protect them?" He says, "But you would not. You wouldn't have it." Time and time again, God offered his assistance and help and gave them what they needed. They rejected it. But the great mercy of God stayed with his people. Because you see, God had a great plan. He was going to bring the promised Savior into this world. He was going to bring his Son into this world that we might have hope of eternal life. He was going to bring his Son into this world that all men everywhere could obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'll tell you, you think about those times, and we see the great mercy of God. Stephen would even ask in his day, Acts chapter 7 and verse 52, a stiff-necked, rebellious people, the leaders of the Jews. He says, "Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted?" They couldn't name one. Clearly, God is forbearing, long-suffering, enduring, patient, merciful God. And we need to be imitators of him. You know, God's love for man really is at the heart of his forbearance and mercy, his patience with us. He loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son into this world to die on the cross for sins that we committed, not what his Son did. So we won't spend a lot of time on that. But really, when you stop and think about it, that really is at the heart of this. God shows mercy because he loves us. God shows mercy because he wants the very best for us. And I think he shows mercy sometimes simply because we need to learn how to be merciful ourselves. The Old Testament is evidence that God is merciful. I found approximately 40 explicit statements. Obviously, don't have time for all of those. But 40 statements that say that God's mercy endures forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Psalm 52 and verse 1, "The goodness of God endures continually." The idea of continually there is that God once extends that mercy, he doesn't all of a sudden come back and say, "Oh no, I changed my mind at the last second. I'm not going to extend that mercy to you." He's extended it. Now what am I going to do with it? Psalm 100 and verse 5, "For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting." Exodus chapter 34, time and time again, verses 5 through 6. This is a powerful one because it links up, as often these passages do, the idea of long-suffering and being merciful together, or being patient and long-suffering together and merciful with it. It says, "Then the Lord ascended in the cloud and stood by Moses there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed," now this is the Lord saying this, "the Lord the God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth." Which, by the way, goodness and truth are also his attributes. And stop and think about when this was, time frame was. This is immediately following the rebellion of Israel when they worshiped the golden calf. And it can still be said that God is merciful and gracious and long-suffering. This is after Moses actually pleaded with God to blot him out and not the people. Exodus 32 and verse 32. In Numbers chapter 14, following the people's rebellion against Moses and Aaron, which, by the way, Moses and Aaron were God's hand-selected people. These were men of God that he said, okay, Moses, you've got a problem. You're having a problem accepting the role that I'm giving you. Well, here's your brother. He will go with you. He'll be your mouthpiece. Following the people's rebellion against them, Moses actually intercedes for them, reminding God of what he had promised. Not that God needed to be reminded. We find that in Exodus 34 and verses 5 and 6. But you know what I learned here? I begin to get the picture that even Moses had learned something about mercy. Blot me out. Be merciful to the people. Let them continue on. Sometimes mercy, what that means is, it's for the betterment of somebody else, even to my detriment. Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalms are powerful things. David writes this, but you, O Lord, are God full of compassion. There's that word we've talked about, and we're going to talk more about it here in a little bit. Gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in what? Mercy and truth. That's why we say so often, you see words like compassion and patience and endurance and long-suffering linked up with the word mercy, because they're necessary together. Folks, the New Testament also proclaims the patience and the mercy of God. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul asked the simple question here. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You see, without that patience, without that long-suffering nature of God, there would have been no mercy. We wouldn't have had opportunity to be led to repentance. And then this parable that Jesus would teach in Matthew chapter 18, about the man who owed his master a great deal of money, couldn't pay it. He was about to be thrown into prison. The servant therefore fell down, though, before him and saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, forgave him the debt. Verse 27 of Matthew 18. What did he do? Well, the servant asked basically for, have mercy on me. I'll get that to you. I'll repay you. And the master received that properly in his heart, and he had mercy on this servant. Paul told the church at Rome in Romans chapter 15 and verse 5, Now the God of patience and the comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. Did you hear that? If I am going to imitate God and he's a merciful God toward me, I need to be like-minded toward my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to have that mindset of being merciful, of being patient, of being long-suffering. Why? Because people are going to have to do that for me sometimes too. I'm far from being perfect. And guess what? I have a loving, merciful God who extends mercy to me, and sometimes my brothers and sisters in Christ need to extend it to me as well. But in return, I better be extending that same mercy to them. I better be of reciprocal nature on that. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Peter speaks of the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, once were long-suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah. I looked at something I was really interesting. I didn't realize it, but the majority text actually says patiently waited in the days of Noah. Patience is a part of it. We're all aware of 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 through 15. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Folks, this speaks volumes about God's mercy. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to be in heaven. Do you realize that hell was never designed for humanity? It was designed for the devil and his servants, those who rebelled against God. Heaven is where we're designed to go. That's where heaven was made for. And God is such a loving and merciful God, He wants people to be here. He wants us to make it there. Now think about that for just a moment. It's a powerful thing. My final thought for this morning is God's mercy is seen in His compassion. You know, Mike has been talking about compassion all month long and how it is an integral part of mercy. Well, guess what? Mike didn't just get that out of thin air. He went to the book of books to find that. Let's look at just a few of those. Repeatedly, we find within the pages of the Bible genuinely moving truths about God. God is infinitely compassionate toward us. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 12 through 16, Moses explains God's laws concerning the cities that would fall into idolatry and ultimately serve false gods. What was to happen to them? Verse 16 says they were to burn the city with all its plunder. Now listen carefully to the other part of that. So none of the accursed things shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of His anger and what? Show you mercy and having compassion on you. Having compassion on you. There is mercy and compassion in the same verse, and it all talks about them being intertwined, necessary together. David speaks to the violent mob seeking his life, saying, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion. Psalm 86, verses 14 and 15. David understood the need of that compassion. Psalm 111 and verse 4. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 15, we learn that God promises to return Israel to their homeland following the Babylonian captivity. It's not going to be forever. You've got 70 years. But notice what he says, I will return and have compassion on them and bring them back. God is a compassionate God. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 31 through 33 reads like this, for the Lord will not cast off forever, though He causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of, guess what, His mercies. God is such a merciful God. God is such a compassionate God, that He sees and he recognizes our needs sometimes when we don't even recognize them ourselves. Now listen to this at the end of that. For He does not afflict willingly nor give the children of men. Micah would put it this way. Micah chapter 7 verses 18 through 19. Who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He does not retain His anger forever. Why? Because He delights in mercy. He will have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. That means He's going to forgive us. That's what mercy does. I deserve punishment, but God is a merciful God, and He doesn't visit that punishment upon me. But rather, when I have the right heart and mindset and ask for God's forgiveness, that sin's blotted out. We have several occasions in the New Testament where we have Jesus, Emmanuel, that is God with us, Matthew 1, verse 23, showing tremendous compassion. You stop and think about this for just a moment. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14, just before he fed the 5,000, we read this. When Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and he healed them. He showed mercy. You couldn't have had compassion and do what he did and not exhibit mercy. At the feeding of the 4,000 in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus told his disciples, I have compassion on the multitude. Why? Because they continued with me for 3 days and they have no food. They have nothing to eat. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 and 16, when Jesus raised the widow's only son who was being carried to his grave, it says that he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And he raised that boy up. We think about these things. And we think about that God does not want anyone to perish. He does not want anyone to lose their soul. And we think about great passages like Ezekiel chapter 33. He says, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? And it makes me think about Isaiah chapter 30. Turn back in your Bibles for just a moment. Let's go to Isaiah 30 for just one moment. One verse is powerful enough. It says so much about the God that we serve, the merciful God that we serve. Look at verse 18. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. And therefore, he will be exalted that he may, listen, have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on him. Brethren, God is a patient, loving, compassionate, long-suffering, merciful God. But this certainly does not mean that he is infinitely patient. Does not mean that he will be infinitely merciful. We have this life to live that we're living today by the love and mercy and grace of God. And our job as human beings is to mold our life into that image of God. God wants all men everywhere to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We know that from Paul's writing, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He doesn't want anyone to lose their soul eternally. But there will be a day of reckoning coming. We know that from passages like 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. And other passages. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that which we have done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Let's use the time that God has given us to serve that merciful God and show the same kind of heart and mindset of mercy toward others. You know, I thought about this an awful lot. And the older I get, the more I think about it. God has blessed me with quite a few years. I'm thankful for that. But he doesn't promise me tomorrow. And he promises nobody in here tomorrow. The question is, what will we do with today? God has blessed us with a plan of salvation that we can follow. And having followed that, having been obedient to that plan of salvation, to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to have our sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16, then we can go down to that watery grave of baptism, rise up and walk in newness of life, and be what God would have us to be, not just in the realm of mercy, but in every aspect of God's dealings with man. Maybe it's the case that you've never been obedient to the gospel of Christ and you'd like to study more about it and learn more about it. We stand ready to assist you in any way possible. If you need to study, we'll study with you. If you know what you need to do already, you already believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is Son of God, you're ready to repent of your sins, you're ready to confess the name of Christ, then you're ready to be baptized. We're ready to help you with that. Maybe it is the case that you are a child of God and you strayed away from the truth and you need to come back to God on His terms. Won't you do that right now as we stand and as we sing this song?